Chapter 22. When Kate, Nick, and crew arrived at Saint-Exupéry Airport in Lyon, France, they soon discovered that interest in the discovery of the Raubgold, the greatest treasure the world had ever known, had already grown large enough that there was a throng of international media personnel waiting for them. Television reporters stood in front of cameras, speaking into their microphones, and photographers flashed their cameras at anyone who happened to walk through the baggage claim area. Interpol had scheduled a big press conference for that evening to announce the creation of a special commission to help distribute the proceeds from the Raubgold recovery. This is why the team had been flown to Lyon, home of Interpol headquarters. Special agent in charge Jessup was waiting for them near the gate, inside the security zone and away from any of the press. Kate hadn't known what to expect from him. Anything from a medal to another tongue-lashing seemed possible. But she had been utterly shocked when Jessup wrapped her up in a hug. "I'm sorry," he said, breaking away. "I didn't mean to do that." "Yes, you did," she said, "and that's okay." Jessup shook Nick's hand and was still all smiles when he spotted the two fathers. He had already met Jake O'Hare on previous occasions, but he hadn't yet seen Quentin Fox in person. "This is Quentin Fox," Nick said. "My father." "Very happy to meet you," Jessup said, shaking his hand. Nick continued with the introductions, Professor Lewis and Captain Duckworth, and then Nick finally stepped back to introduce Jessup to the newest and biggest member of their team. "Sir, I'd like you to meet Franz Gruber." Jessup's eyes traveled upward until he reached Franz's face. Then he stood there speechless, until Franz extended a massive hand. "I've been looking forward to meeting you," Franz said, with a slight whistle through his two missing front teeth. "We have a lot to talk about."
"Do we?"
Jessup looked back and forth between Nick and Kate, waiting for any of this to make sense.
"You remember that leak at Interpol?" Kate asked.
"The one you were supposed to be finding for us."
"That got a little complicated," Jessup said. "You have to remember, there are 194 member countries. Any one of them could have had an officer on loan at the headquarters, and if just one agent happens to see the wrong information at the wrong time, it would have been so easy to
communicate with the wrong person," Kate said.
"We understand. But if that wrong person happened to share that information with one of his lieutenants, is that something you might be interested in? Especially if that person wants to make a deal," Nick asked.
"Like the deal I made with you not so long ago." "We would need to be very careful about this," Jessup said, looking back up at Franz. "If anyone else interrogates him, the information could end up tipping off our leak."
"Which is why he's with us," Kate said.
"I think the two of you should go talk somewhere, and we'll catch up to you later." Jessup nodded and walked away with Franz, still looking a little unsure about what was happening, and why he was being left alone with a man big enough to stuff him through a basketball hoop. As Nick, Kate, Jake, Quentin, Duckworth and Professor Lewis approached the baggage claim area and saw the throng of media waiting on the other side of the ropes, that was Nick's cue to make his own separate exit. He didn't want his own working relationship with the FBI to be compromised with a sudden, huge amount of public exposure.
"You guys got this," Nick said before he slipped away. "You all know how shy I am in front of strangers."
When he was 100 yards away, he turned to see Kate behind him.
"What are you doing?" he asked.
"Don't you want your 15 minutes of fame?"
"That's not for me," she said. "I was just doing my job."
The two of them went to the far end of the airport and found a quiet door they could slip through without being seen. 2 hours later, Agent Jessup called Kate at the hotel.
"Did you know that Franz speaks 7 languages fluently?" he asked her.
"I didn't know he spoke one until yesterday," she said.
"He's going to bust this thing wide open, Kate. It's not just one leak to some psycho-Nazi who wanted to find some gold. There's an entire criminal organization that has infiltrated Interpol at the highest level. With Franz's help, we're going to bring the whole thing down. It's going to make our careers. Which we are you talking about right now, sir? I understand you're still just catching your breath right now, Jessup said. You've been through a lot, so by all means, take a few days off to recharge your batteries. But then we can all meet to talk about how you and Nick and Franz are going to tackle this new assignment.
Sounds like a plan, Kate said. I'm not even surprised, she thought. First, they teamed me up with Nick. Now with Franz. Next will be those polar bears from the zoo.
I'll see you tonight, Agent O'Hare. I'll save you and Nick a spot at the back of the room. I'm sure you'll want to be there to see your father's.
Of course, she said. I'll see you tonight.
As Kate walked down the streets of Lyon, France, it felt strange to be truly alone for the first time in days. She didn't have to run anymore, because there were no new clues to find. She didn't have to watch over her shoulder, because nobody was chasing her. They had all worked together to bring some of the gold up from the cavern into the daylight. They had taken photographs of several bars, each one with the gleaming eagle and the wreath and the words stamped into the metal, 1 kilo Feingold, along with the unique serial number below that. They had taken even more photographs underground, but it was hard to generate much light down there, so whoever saw the photographs would have to imagine just how large the cavern was, just how many 1 kilo bars it would take to equal 400 tons, and just how amazing it would feel to walk down the endless aisles between the pallets. They had worked together to create a carefully worded press release on Professor Lewis's laptop, and then they had transmitted that press release, along with the photos, to every major news organization in the world. The one piece of information they did not include was the location of the well. When they were done with this, they took the gold they had brought up and returned it to the cavern, where it had been placed 75 years before. They covered the top of the well and erased every sign that anyone had set foot on that parcel of ground above Lake Toplitz. Kate went back to the hotel and opened her door with her keycard. Nick Fox was standing in front of the full-length mirror, wearing a new Armani suit and looking something better than perfect.
Nice suit, she said.
But I think you're in the wrong room. Nick took his jacket off and draped it over the back of a chair.
I disagree, he said. I'm here to discuss our next adventure.
Did you talk to Jessup? Do we have a new project?
No, Nick said. I was thinking more along the lines of a private, personal adventure.
How private are we talking?
Private villa in the Seychelles, complete with private dining and a private beach. So private, you won't even need to pack a swimsuit.
And how are we going to afford all of this private?
Nick smiled.
Funny story. Before we left the lake, while everyone else was packing up their gear, I happened to find a large duffel bag hidden near the shore. You'll never guess what was inside.
Please don't say a bar of gold.
That would be silly, Nick said. The answer is pants. You know, from the men who came after us in the water. There were some other pieces of clothing, too. But it's the pants that are important. Please don't tell me there was a bar of gold in the pants.
No.
But there were wallets in the pants. Between all of the wallets, there was a considerable sum of cash. I was stuffing all this cash into my pockets when the ghost of Agar appeared to me.
Kate rolled her eyes.
Sorry I tried to kill you so many times, the ghost said. Take the money and use it for something righteous.
Kate groaned. Booking a vacation in the Seychelles is righteous.
Nick pulled her close to him. Believe me,
I've been having all kinds of ideas about things I'd like to do to you, and I promise they will all feel righteous. Kate closed her eyes and leaned her head back a bit. Or maybe a couple of them could be a little raunchous. His lips brushed against hers and then moved to her neck. That's my girl. The Lyon traffic was far below them, the sounds barely audible. The whole world finally had faded into the background. In this whole adventure, he said, how much time did we have alone together? We were kind of busy, she said. You know, finding the biggest treasure in the history of the world. No, he said, the biggest treasure in the world is you. You really think a corny line like that is going to work on me? Nick moved back to Kate's mouth. Yes, I do. Damned if he wasn't right.